wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, we pause today to offer space. To offer space for your Holy Spirit to push us. To offer space, God, for your movement. And to pray for our neighbor. For our neighbor who's lonely. For our neighbor who's hungry and thirsty. For our neighbor who is seeking a path to stay here. God, for the world. As always, God, my prayer is that you would do what you do and that I would get out of the way. That you would somehow speak through me this morning. That you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear. That our minds might be open to understanding. That our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said in the beginning, we're in the middle, really the middle of this series we're calling Creed, and it's based on this book by Adam Hamilton, which says, What Christians Believe and Why. And our small groups are diving into this series, and we're looking at it through the lens of the Apostles' Creed, which is one of the creeds that the church has been saying for a really, really long time. And we started a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at, I believe in God the Father, that parental role of God, and what does that look like? And his only son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. And we talked about Jesus. And then last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit. And if you missed any of those, I do want to encourage you to go back and listen, because I think that they build on one another. This concept of the nature of God builds on itself. And this week, we're getting to another phrase. It's sort of taking a turn, and it's, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. Now, people have been saying this phrase for hundreds of years. In fact, this morning, I had people at the 9 o'clock come through, and they said, I've said that before, and I had no clue what that meant. Friends, we do that in the church. We use this language that people go, I don't even know what that means. In fact, years ago, I was in an Episcopal church right after I graduated from college, and they said the Apostles' Creed almost every Sunday. And I remember I would start the creed and I would say, yeah, I can believe in God and I can believe in his only son, Jesus Christ, and I can believe in the Holy Spirit. And I would get to this phraseology about the Catholic Church and I would go silent. I would say, I'm not Catholic. What does that mean? I would say, we're Episcopal, which is kind of Catholic light. So maybe we're heading to give some allegiance to the Catholic Church. And no one ever explained to me what it meant. No one ever said, this is what it means when we say this. And I think we do that a lot in the church. I think we use language that we just assume everybody's on board and everybody gets. I think that we say things, and I try really, really hard not to, because I think the difference in a church and a club is that a club uses language to keep people out, and a church should use language that help people know that they're welcome in. That's really the difference. I mean, when you have a club, it's designed that there's a secret language, and unfortunately, so much of the church has become like a club. So much of the church has gotten to this place where we have language that we use that people don't understand. In fact, I had somebody come to me recently. They said, Pastor Tim, you say a word almost every week that I have no clue what it means. I'm like, seriously? Yo, I work real hard not to do that. I said, what's the word? I'm waiting for this big theological word. They're like, amen. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I said, oh, it's real easy. It just means, and so be it. Or we all agree. And they're like, yeah, but I didn't know that. And I was like, darn it, I missed the mark. I missed the mark in giving you language that you can use. When we say things like that, we automatically put a wall up and tell some people that they're out. When we say phrases like, we've all heard this, we all know this, we put people on the outside. So today we're gonna break down these words. What does it mean? Holy, Catholic, Church, the communion of saints. Let's start with the word holy. Holy means set apart for God. And you might say, wait a second. I've been in the church. The church doesn't often feel super holy to me. Because holy should be good. Holy should be that which is created for the goodness, to share the love of God, to be the extension of God with the world. Holy really should be that. And the church falls short. The church was created, friends. in order to be set apart, not to say who's out, but to let everybody know that they're in. The church was set apart to be the hands and the feet of God in the world. So that concept of holy means to be set apart. Years ago, I was in a church meeting. Shockingly, this meeting did not go well. People disagreed on things that were going on in the church, and somebody was attacking the church in the meeting. Somebody was saying really nasty things about the church. And this person that completely shocked me, I mean, I was so surprised. She looked at them and she said, "How dare you?" And I was like, "Oh, this is going to be fun. I'll have something to tell my wife when I get home at least, right?" She said, "How dare you? How dare you attack God's church? How dare you scream about God's church?" She says, "Look, you can say what you want about me. You can say what you want about this, but this is God's church set apart." Now, look, the church was not doing perfectly. It was not doing amazing things, but so often we get this picture of the church that's not really the church at all, that isn't being the church for the world. And I saw this thing recently because so many people right now especially are talking about the church and about the dogma of the church and the religious language and that sort of thing. And I saw this thing from Richard Rohr. And if you don't know Richard Rohr, go look him up. He says beautiful things. And I want to share it with you this morning. This is what he posted. He said, "Christianity is a lifestyle, a way of being in the world that is simple, nonviolent, shared, and loving. However, we made it into an established religion and all that goes with that and avoided the lifestyle change itself. We could be warlike, greedy, racist, selfish, and vain throughout most of Christian history and still believe that Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior, or continue in good standing to receive the sacraments, communion, baptism. The world has no time for such silliness anymore. The suffering on earth is too great." Friends, the world is telling us they got no time for that. No time for people who claim to be the church and then go out and share hate. No time for people who claim to be the church and don't do anything in the world or come out into the parking lot yelling at one another and having anger. The church just has no time for that anymore. So the holy, set apart nature of the church comes with responsibility to be the hands and feet of God in the world, to be that extension of who God is. So now let's get to the word Catholic, because I know that's already bothering some of y'all. It's a little C. You notice that? The little C in the word Catholic means universal. Isn't that ironic? It means the church for all, the church that's open to all, the universal church available to all, the universal church for all people. The Greek word of the word Catholic actually translates to everywhere. It's an adjective talking about this body of Christ, how we're to be the church out in the world everywhere we go. And what Jesus knew, he talks about it in John chapter 17. He talks about this concept of unity because Jesus knew we were going to mess it up. He knew in the church we were going to have infighting. He knew in the church we were going to have problems, and he called for unity. Not so that everybody was the same, but so that love was the universal language that we carried out into the world. That's what he longed for in the creation of the church. So I want to look, that was sort of what is the church. I want to get to define that a little bit in scripture. And I want to look to Paul as he wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 12. I want you to hear what he said about the church. He said, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And I didn't hit on this last week when I was talking about the Holy Spirit. And if you've ever been here for a Sunday when we have people joining, I kind of push back on Paul's concept of the body of Christ. And I push back on it because I think it's limited. Don't tell Paul that, but I think it's limited. See, the body of Christ, our own understanding of the body is that there are parts that are more important than others. Right? The brain, pretty important. But Paul's understanding was that all parts of the body are important, and everybody is given gifts. Everybody is given gifts to share that love of Christ out into the world. Everybody is given those gifts. And when we don't all live into those gifts, we're missing it. There's something that we're missing. Now, I am not a scientist. I don't even really try to play one, I'll be honest with you. I'm not good at that. But I did find something really interesting. There's an image I want to show you. This is the image of the inner ear. And there are three bones in the inner ear: the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. And it is miraculously amazing how these three bones work together. The hammer is arranged so that one end is attached to the eardrum while the other end forms a lever-like hinge with the anvil. The opposite end of the anvil is fused with the stirrup, so anvil and stirrup act as one bone, even though these bones are so small. And you may never, ever actually know that you have them. They are how you hear. These little bones working together in their gifts, in their capacity, are how you have the capacity to listen. And isn't that fascinating that when God created three tiny, tiny bones that made it so we could listen to one another, that work together. There are people in this congregation that are hammers and anvils and stirrups, and without you, we cannot fully listen to the world. We cannot be fully who God called us to be. The nature of the church is to use each of those together so that we can do it together. Every part of the body is significant. Every part of the body matters. Each and every one of you. We are not the church, more or less Crossroads, but we are not the church universal without each of you. Without each of you being who God created you to be. Without each of us living in to that creation. So what does the church do then? That's who we are. What does it do? Koinonia, the church cares for one another. I just met with a couple in my office who are new to the church. And I told them what I tell people so often. I am 100% convinced that if people are walking into church these days, it's because they want community. Because you can get church online. You don't need it. If you're coming into the church today, I hope that someone says your name. I hope that you feel connected, because we are called as the church to care for one another. We are called, what is the church to do? To use our gifts to share love and grace with the world, to be that extension. What is the church to do? To be more like Jesus Christ, to live our lives in a way that other people can experience that grace and that love. What is the church to do? We are to care for the marginalized. Jesus was very clear about that. I don't think Jesus was much more clear about anything than caring for the marginalized. The people who are on the outside of society, the people that everybody else shuts down. And we have our own statement out here, transforming the world, one person, one family, one community at a time, with the unconditional love of Jesus. The way that the Great Commission says this is to make disciples of all people, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Go out for the sake of transformation. Make disciples that embody the values of Jesus, those values of love, those values of grace, those values of inclusion and welcome. So that's the Holy and Catholic Church. What do we do with the communion of saints? All right, what do we do with that? What the heck does that mean? I believe in the communion of saints. Again, that was another one that I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't pray to St. Peter or St. Francis or other traditions do. What does it mean to believe in the communion of saints. What are saints? Hamilton talks in his book about saints, that they're people, and Paul says they're all people who seek to love and carry out this love of Christ in the world. It comes from a Greek word, hagios, which means to be set apart, people who are set apart for the work of loving others. And in our United Methodist tradition, we use the language of sanctification. In our lives, we're trying to get more and more like Christ. In our lives, we're trying to grow more and more in love with God so that we love the world more. And listen, I bet we've all had saints in our lives. I bet we've all had these people in our lives who we look up to, who have helped us know we're loved. That might be a teacher. I said it at 9. I think teachers are some of the greatest saints in the world. Amen? I mean, really, if you have a child, your teacher is a saint. Let me tell you. But I also think sometimes it's a grandparent. Sometimes it's a neighbor. Sometimes it's a family member. Sometimes it's just someone who cared for you. Whoever that is, there have been saints in your life. Ordinary saints, as Hamilton calls them. And what do ordinary saints do? Ordinary saints do what you do, friends. Ordinary saints make sure that kids don't go hungry over spring break and they have food. That's what ordinary saints do. Ordinary saints work with organizations and people who know what they're doing to make sure that immigrants have a path. Ordinary saints make sure that our schools and our local community have the resources that they need. Ordinary saints make sure that folks who come and want to learn English can learn English. Ordinary saints mean that when we hear a great need in our community about mental health, that we do something about it. That's what ordinary saints do. Ordinary saints look for the marginalized in our society and show them grace, love, and welcome. Years ago, I saw the movie Coco. Anybody else seen that movie? It's a great little Disney movie, fun movie about a little kid named Miguel. And the story really gets to the concept of the Day of the Dead or the Día de los Muertos. And he really wants to play music. It's Miguel's joy. It's Miguel's life. He wants to do that, and it's really, really important to him. But his family has a rule because his great-great-grandfather ran off playing music and left the family. So as a result, no one in their family is allowed to play music. But on the Day of the Dead, this really interesting thing happens, and he's whisked into the other world, the world of the living beyond this life. And he goes, and he's in there, and he really, really wants to get back out. He really wants to get back to his family, but he wants to get back to his family with the blessing of playing music. So he seeks to go and find his great-great-grandfather, the one who played the music. And he connects and he gets the blessing and he comes back and it changes the family dynamics. And I think one of the things I loved about this movie so much when I saw it that I just thought was so fun about it was that it helped me feel connected to the communion of saints, the people that have gone before. My grandmother was somebody who was so dear in my life, someone who was so helpful in me developing my faith and feeling that connection between this life and the next. I mean, a piece of my faith that is so deep is the belief that death is not the end of the story. And the connection to the communion of saints, which Hebrews talks about, are the people who are cheering you on in this life, that are cheering the race that you're running. Isn't it beautiful to think that there's more than us that are cheering on what we're doing, that are calling for us to be the church, to stand up against injustice, that are calling for us to live into a place where we're truly transforming the world. In this series, I have encouraged you to take some time each week to write, what do you believe about this? What do you believe about the church today? What do you believe about this communion of saints? And in just a moment, I'm going to give you that time. But I want to leave you with this. I don't have 6 great points for you today. I don't have go and do this and go and do that and you'll be the church and this. Here's what I want to say. Just go be the church. Love people and share that universal love with the world because I wholeheartedly believe it's going to transform the world. So take a few moments. We're going to have some music. It's not going to be long, but write down what you believe about the communion of saints. You can type it in your phone. You can do whatever. What do you believe about the church? What do you believe about that? Take the time and do it.